Well, good morning. Welcome to Porch Light Baptist Church this morning. Just a beautiful day and enjoyed all the singing. I love that last song. I always think of Brother Roger McCowan on that one. I believe that's his favorite song. We used to sing it when he led our choir, Will You Meet Me Over Yonder? And he'd get all worked up and excited on that one, and I always enjoy it. But it is good to be here and make a few announcements and prayer requests. I want you to remember our missionaries in your prayers. We right now support two missionary families, Justin and Danielle Sauter in Zambia, Africa, and Jeremy and Michelle Blands down in Costa Rica. We currently support those two, and we're praying about the Lord allowing us to support one in Australia. And we have a couple on our heart, the Marshalls in Australia. I believe Queensland is where they're at, but we're praying about them and researching them and just asking the Lord to help us. And so you pray about that as well. And also remember these folks that are sick right now with the coronavirus. Remember my oldest daughter, she's having some back trouble, and she could use your prayers. Several folks sick right now. Pray for our country. Remember all this. Pray for our church that the Lord will lead us to do what he wants us to do, especially during this time. And we, you know, when we began, we were focusing on homebound and shut-in and prayed that the Lord would enable us to go to homes and be able to minister there. But it's not been working out like that because of all this pandemic. So we pray that the Lord will just guide us where he wants us to. We, you know, if he wants us to be in a building, then he can work that out. But as for now, we're still meeting here in our home. Just a few of us, you know, we have only a few in the church right now, but we just trust in the Lord, and we enjoy our services. But I don't want to keep rambling on here. I do have a message this morning, and I've preached on this a few times. I love this passage of Scripture, and it gives us great hope as well as we look into the lives of the children of Israel and what was going on with them at the time during the Babylonian captivity. And there was a point there where they were so discouraged and down. And so I like to look at that, and our text will be out of the book of Psalms. Psalms 137 we'll be looking at, verses 1 through 6. Psalms 137, verses 1 through 6. I've titled the message, Have You Lost Your Song? And that is from the text, and you'll see that as we continue through this. But we pray that it'll be an encouragement to folks that are maybe struggling right now. I know there's a lot of people that are depressed over everything that's going on, and it seems like life has flip-flopped. I saw this week somebody posted that when it turned 2020, we didn't realize it was turning into the Twilight Zone. It kind of feels like it. It seems like everything that we've ever known has reversed from what it once was. What once was good now is considered bad, and things that you would never have dreamed that people would be against, they're against. And I've never seen such crazy stuff going on as it is right now. I am thankful to see that Chaz or Chop or whatever they called it, where they had, you know, they had taken over blocks of the city and refusing the police to be there. I see where that got broken up because of the shootings of the two children. I hate that that happened, but I'm glad that place got busted up and those people were arrested. I saw the man that run his mouth so much about being in charge. He was on they were carrying him out on a stretcher and he was crying. So, that kind of brought a little bit of joy to me to see that. But, people have just lost their minds today. And so it is difficult sometimes, especially as a Christian. You get to wondering, where's God at right now? And why is he allowing these things to happen and so forth? And, you know, I get questions like that sometimes from people wanting to know why God would allow things like that to happen in this world. And the truth is, God is sovereign. He does know everything. Doesn't mean he causes everything to happen, but he does allow it to happen. And some of the things that we go through, we know we're because of our own faults. We do a lot of dumb things, and we learn lessons from them. Hopefully we do. I don't know about the mindset of the people in this nation right now, whether they're learning anything or not, but they've sure lost their minds. But the Lord does allow things to happen to us in our lives. And what we have to do is trust Him. And I believe that's what He's looking for, is those that love Him and trust Him and just hand it all over to Him and not for us to be worrying about it so much. But let's go ahead and read our text this morning, Psalm 137, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Psalm 137, starting with verse 1. And here the Bible says, "By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning thanking you for the reading of your word. Lord, we pray for these requests that's been made, those we're praying for. We pray for the country. God, we're praying now that you help us as we preach this message. Lord, that you'll guide us in it. Lord, that we'll follow your leadership of the Holy Spirit. And God, anything that is said about this message, Lord, may it be said that you were glorified in it. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's a sad scene, what we just read about the children of Israel there. These are Hebrew people. Originally, that's what they were, Hebrew people. They become known as Jews, as the land of Judah. The Judah being one of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's where the term Jew actually comes from, is from the name Judah, which I believe was the fourth son of Jacob and Leah, Leah's fourth son. We'll be talking about him in our next Genesis study. Which will be tonight at 6 o'clock, as we've got a message prepared for that as we continue through that study in Genesis. But these are Hebrew people. They're gathered together somewhere in Babylon. Not sure exactly where. We know they're there at by the rivers. It says by the rivers of Babylon, which ran all the way through that land. And they are captives right now. That means they were prisoners. They had been taken from their homeland in Judah into Babylon, into captivity. Now, these were the Jews from the southern kingdom, which is known as Judah. You remember there were two kingdoms of Israel. There was northern Israel, and then there was the southern part, which was called Judah. The northern part was referred to as Israel. And then the northern Jews, they got taken into captivity by Syria, and they had been in there for a few hundred years before the inhabitants of Judah were taken into Babylonian captivity. The Lord had warned them for all these years about this that was going to happen. He sent his prophets in. He said, "I sent the prophets in daily." They came in and they would prophesy about what was going to happen, and they would not heed their warning. They refused to listen. You had men like Jeremiah and Isaiah and all these men that foretold this was coming, and yet they didn't want to hear them. Instead, they wanted to hear the false prophets. They wanted people to tell them lies. They didn't want to hear the truth from God. And so here it is. Now their home is in Babylon, but they're longing for their homeland back in Jerusalem. And notice they weren't used the term Zion. Zion is the city of God, and that is what they're longing to be in. And they had it made back when they were living in Zion, back when they were back in Jerusalem, there in the land of Judah, and God had blessed them so much. And he would have continued blessing them over and over in abundance if they'd only done what he said to do. It's the same with our country. I believe without a doubt that God will continue blessing the United States if we would do what he says to do. If we would live a life pleasing to the Lord and do things that are pleasing to the Lord instead of rejecting him. This country is rejecting God today. And that's evident in all the things that's going on in this country. It's evident that people reject God. Well, until we humble ourselves and pray and repent and seek his face, he's not going to heal this land. Not until we do that. So these people, they're remembering back for what it used to be. They're longing for that. They're missing it. And now they're here in front of these strangers. They're strangers in a strange land. And they remember how the enemy came in and trampled their city, how they destroyed their homes, destroyed their temple, took their children as prisoners, and they've lost their joy, and that translates into them losing their song. You see, to the Jew and to the Christian alike, songs represent joy. A lot of meaning is in songs. That's the whole book of Psalms, is songs. That's what they are. A song's written in a form to praise God, and you can sing those. But they've lost their song. They've lost their joy. They're not happy because they're not where they belong. They're in a strange land. Verse 1 said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. So verse 1 shows them as they remember. They're miserable. They had no one else to blame but themselves, and they know that. They wanted to blame Jeremiah. They wanted to blame the other prophets of this doom that's been pronounced upon them. But they knew inwardly they could look at themselves and say, it is our own fault. We were warned. God told us if we did not turn from our wicked ways, from our idols, and worship Him and Him alone, that He would let this happen. And that's where they find themselves. So they had defied the law of God. They had defiled God's land and temple. And they had denied the very God that loved them and made them His people. And now they were paying dearly for it. This country, I believe, is now paying dearly for turning their backs on God. Here we just celebrated our independence yesterday on July the 4th. How old are we now? 244, I believe, something like that. Not very old for a country. Other countries have been around for thousands of years. This country is young. And look what's already happening. I don't know what kind of hope we have here in this country anymore. But as we look at these folks here in Babylon captivity, it reminds me of today. It's a picture of many Christians, folks that once had joy in their heart, that once loved God, and you could see it in their lives, and they had a song in their heart. They had a song continuously because they had joy of the Lord. But now that joy is gone. Now they're more miserable. They're weeping. They don't have a song. They're outcasts, and they've strayed from God. They have backslidden, a lot of Christians today. And you know, the most miserable person in the world is a Christian that is strayed from God. A Christian that's out of God's fellowship, one that is backslidden. They're the most miserable people you will ever meet. And you know how they got that way? They've allowed the pressures of life, something that's happened to them, or some scenario that happened, maybe a loss of a loved one or a job or some circumstance has led them to start pulling away from God. They're getting in their own, wallowing in their own miseries. And some of them have allowed sin, of course, to draw them away from God. And that is where it becomes so destructive. When they allow sin and the devil to carry them away from where they belong. And what happens is they lose their joy. They no longer have a song in their heart. They can't sing praises to God because they're miserable. And now they find themselves strangers in a strange land. No longer feel comfortable. They've lost their song. Christians of all people should have a song in their heart. Paul writes over in Ephesians 5:19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is a prescription of how the church operates. And the church, of course, is Christians. It's people that's been saved by the blood of Jesus. And if you're part of that, then Paul says right here, this is the way you are to be with each other. Speaking with each other, he says, in psalms. That's songs. Hymns. Hymns and music. Spiritual songs. Singing. Making melody in your heart. And so the Christian, if he's in fellowship with God, he should have this naturally. It should be in your heart to have a song. And I always wonder, what about people that's lost their song? Can you honestly say today that you have melody in your heart, that you have a spiritual connection with the Lord, and that you You have that song of praise there. You have that song in your heart. Or have you lost that song? A lot of people's lost that song. A lot of people. Well, did you know that laughter, and actually even you could say happiness, is not really joy? You can laugh over a lot of things that are not joyful. You can laugh over wicked things, and a lot of people do. But that is not joy. And happiness really is not true joy. Happiness is sometimes just momentarily. It's just something that has made you happy for a moment, a season. The Bible calls it a season. And you might find pleasure there in a season and be some relatively happy, but still not have joy in your heart. The Bible tells us over in Proverbs 14:7, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. So you can laugh and still have sorrow in your heart and not have joy. You may be miserable, and somewhat you hear a joke somebody tells, and it may make you happy, and you may laugh about it. But down inside, you're not happy. You don't have any joy. You're sorrowful. A lot of people think, well, if I just had money, if I had success, if I could get that dream job I've always looked for, if I could get that car that I want so bad, or whatever it may be, that thing that you've put your desires on, what you lust for, and they think, if I could just have that, I would be happy. I would have joy, and my life would be so much better. Well, you may think that, but that is simply not true. That is a lie. That is Satan trying to cloud your judgment. All you have to do is look at the lives of Hollywood stars. You'll find that there is a large percentage of people that are considered stars that commit suicide because they are miserable. They hate their lives. They may play a part. They can act on screen. They can look like they're happy. Take, for example, the actor Robin Williams. He was considered one of the most funniest people in Hollywood. He was a comedian. He did a lot of funny things, and he had a smile on his face and laughter. But the man killed himself because he was depressed and because he was not happy. There's many of them like that have taken their own lives, a lot of these big stars. And so it's not money or fame or fortune or fine homes or big vehicles or any of these things that make you successful and bring you joy. You may have success in the world's eyes, but if it's not in God's eyes, it is not worth it. You can't buy joy. Joy comes only through a true relationship with the Lord Jesus, being a Christian. And so as long as you're out of fellowship, you can't know true joy. When you don't have a relationship with Christ, that joy is not there, and you don't have a song in your heart. And that's what's happened here to these Jews here in Babylon. They're sitting by the river, and it says they've hung our harps in the willows. Isn't that what it said? We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. So they couldn't even play. And the harp, of course, was one of those instruments that the Jews so loved. You remember David as a young boy. He played the harp and it soothed King Saul. And so this was an instrument that was known to bring joy and comfort in the lives of these Hebrew people. And they said, we don't have any joy. We don't have a song. We've just took our harps and hung them in the willows. We can't even play them anymore because we don't have that. And so all they can do here is they weep. They weep in sorrow. Look at verse 2. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And so their joy is so far gone that it looks like there's no way of ever getting it back. They've given up. And, you know, it's no accident that they were in the shape they were in. And if you get out of fellowship with God, you must realize that there are repercussions. God never leaves you, but you can leave God. I'm not talking if you're saved, you can leave him permanently. But I'm saying when you sin against God, when you get out of fellowship and you push him away, you're the one that's leaving the relationship. God is always there for you, and he's always willing to accept you for reconciliation. That's God's plan for man, is to reconcile. And so anytime, all you have to do is come to God and reconcile and restore that relationship, and you can have that true joy in your heart. Now, look at Jeremiah 25:8-11. Jeremiah 25:8-11. And this, God's explaining here, if you get out of fellowship with him, he can cause you to be miserable. Jeremiah 25:8-11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Verse 10 is the key. Look at it. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. How those words must have been playing over and over and over in their minds when they remember this is exactly what Jeremiah said. He said that if we did not turn to the Lord, if we didn't forsake our idols and love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, that the Lord would take away our mirth and our voice of gladness. That's what, and notice he names off all those things that are so dear to the Jews. That mirth, that joy, that gladness, the bridegroom. This is a celebration, the celebration of the bride and the groom and the great celebration the Jews have over that. And it's always a great time of joy. And God says, I'll take that away from you. And that's exactly what has happened now. There's no joy, no song in their heart. It said when they wept, it says they wept when they remembered Zion. They wept when they remembered Zion. Zion, like I said, means the city of God. Babylon is a picture of the world, the sinful, wicked, evil world. Zion is a picture of God in pureness and holiness. So we see the comparison here of what they once had, now they long for it, but yet they're over here in this part of not having this joy in this land of Zion. And I'm reminded of Christians that once had joy in the Lord. Once you saw them in church, you heard them talking about the Lord, you heard them singing songs and all these things, and now they've lost that joy, they're out of fellowship, and all they can do is look back on what they used to be. And they may remember that and miss it, but now they're one of those used-to-be people. And they don't have that same joy. And, you know, can you remember a time back when you were so close to the Lord and it seemed like everything was perfect, you were living the life you should, and then something happened, you got off track, you got away from the Lord, you backslid, you sinned, and then you're no longer the same type of Christian you used to be. Now, it's easy to get in that condition. Now, I'm really concerned right now about the state of the church. And I know a lot of pastors are the same. I've heard a lot of pastors mention this. It seems now there's a mindset that now that the COVID-19 is here and we see now what things are like, we can watch church online. We don't have to assemble ourselves together any longer. That now people are accepting that and saying, well, I doubt I'm going to go back. Now, look, a part of me understands some of that, especially older people that has a hard time getting around and driving. They can't drive good anymore, or maybe not at all. And to a point, I can understand that. But just watching an online service is not the same as actually being with other believers, being present with. In fact, that's what a church is. It's a called out assembly. It's not a called out computer screen. It's not a called out internet setting. Now, while we may be meeting virtually right now, we still meet physically in our home, and people are welcome to join us as we worship. But I am concerned about the church and the state of the church and people seeming very eager to leave the church now. And it also bothers me to hear of churches that are now struggling to pay their bills because people at home watching online are not tithing. They're not sending in their tithes and offerings to the church to help the church keep running. Churches still have to pay bills. Even though there's nobody there, there's still bills to be met every month. Some of them have mortgages. The mortgage has to be met. Now, can you imagine after all this is over and they clear everybody and they say, okay, we believe we've got this under control. May they come up with a vaccine and people are now allowed to go back to churches. And can you imagine going back and your church being closed? And now it's something else. Maybe a different business has took over. That's what's happened in England. Over in England, all those grand churches back from the 1700s, 1800s, they're now saloons and bars and nightclubs. The very same thing could happen here in the United States. And so it does concern me. It bothers me. But those people that have strayed from God, and they only can look back on the past, but they need to get back into the present and be in fellowship with God. Now, Psalm 42 and 4 says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. You see, if you're saved, there ought to be a time you remember back when you were close to God, and you can look back on that and long for the days like the children of Israel here. They long for the days back in Zion. They long for that. Verse 3 says, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You see, these captives in a strange land, they were now being, really, they're being mocked by their captors. Those of Babylon were now looking at them saying things like, where's your God now? I thought your God was mighty and he was powerful and he could do this and do that. Well, where is he now that you're in captivity? And so they were mocking him. Sing us a song about Zion. Go ahead, lift up your voice with mirth like you did back in Jerusalem. And so they were mocking them. They didn't want to hear the sweet music of God's people. That wasn't what it was. They wanted to see their reaction when they called them out about their gods and how they no longer have what they once had. And that's how the world is. The world loves to see a Christian struggling. The world would love to see all Christians backslide and get out of God's will and live like the rest of the world. They love that. And the first thing they would do is throw it right in your face. Where's your God now? What about that God you used to serve and brag about and sing about and go to church over and all that stuff? Where is he now? Look around you. And so they'd like for us to fail. They'd love for the churches to shut down. That's the atheist desire. That's the world's desire to see all churches shut down. They're doing it over in other countries. I mean, churches aren't safe hardly anywhere in this world. Thankfully, right now, we have some protection here in the United States. It's not gotten to that point yet, but it could. And so the world will delight in the distress of Christians and the people of God, just like the Babylonians are delighting in the plight of the Israelites. And so, you know, I guess your God isn't so great after all. Well, the truth is the world hates us. The world hates the church. All the world loves is wickedness and self. We represent everything that they hate. John 15 and 19 says, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Of course, they love it when a Christian's down. If the world finds out you've lost your song, they are going to delight in that. And they would love for you to join them. Be very careful, Christians. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And you know, it's sad to see a Christian that has lost their song. I've known people. I've ministered with people. I've worked along with people. And once they had a song in their heart and joy, but no longer they do. And it's sad to see a Christian that's so down, so bound and held captive, they can no longer sing the songs of Zion. It's a sad thing. I believe one of the greatest gifts the Lord has ever given us is the gift of music and songs. It brings great joy to my heart to sing. Here before the preaching, we had singing. We sung a bunch of songs. I mentioned that song, Will You Meet Me Over Yonder, Brother Roger Loves So Much. I didn't even know that song until I met Brother Roger a few years ago, and he came to lead our singing. And that song has brought me great joy. I loved it, and if he'd have sung it every service, I wouldn't have cared. We sung that song over and over and over and over and over because of the great words in it. Will you meet me over yonder? And we talk about that time we get to be with the Lord. And I love music. My family, very musical family, all my parents and grandparents, all they sing and play instruments. My immediate family, we all do that too. And so music is a big part of our lives. I remember growing up and listening to my mother and father as they would sing along with the Chuck Wagon Gang, the Carter family, and all those old songs that they used to sing. And we would gather around the piano. My sisters played the piano. Sometimes both of them would get on there at the same time. And my dad played the guitar, and I played a little bit of guitar. And we would sit around the living room, and we would just sing and sing. We'd get out the old Redback church hymnal, sing those old songs out of there, and it brought such great joy to my life. And I remember we knew that book so well. We was calling off page numbers, you know, and we knew everyone 92. Have a little talk with Jesus. 333, I'll fly away. You know, we just on and on and on. 110, Heaven's Jubilee. And so we would call out those songs. We wouldn't even have to, look at the book, and we know where we're going. It's a 219 winging my way back home. I loved it. I can also remember being in the backyard playing in the summertime. And we didn't have air conditioners, so all the windows were up in the house. And I can remember playing in the backyard and listening to my mother sing to all the gospel songs that were coming on WKXV radio. She'd be in there singing to the top of her lungs, canning and cooking and cleaning, doing all these things. And that, you know, I can think back on that time and think, boy, I am so thankful for what I had growing up. Now, a lot of people don't have that. A lot of people don't know nothing about that kind of upbringing, but I am thankful the Lord allowed me to have that kind of home. But listen, the Lord will put a song in your heart. Listen to these verses, Psalm 32 and 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. Psalm 42 and 3. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. So listen, it's sad when a child of God has lost their song, when there's no joy, when they cannot sing and lift up praises to the Lord. You know, some people say, well, Brother Byron, you don't understand what's going on in my life. I have such sorrow. You know, and there's so many tragic things that's happened to me that I can't have any kind of joy. And so how can I sing with such sorrow, they say? Well, over in Matthew 26 and 30, we find that Jesus had just had the Last Supper with his disciples. He told them about being betrayed. They were all worried and concerned and upset and everything. And listen to what it said after they got through eating in Matthew 26 and 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So even though such tragic circumstances were surrounding that time, they still had enough joy in their heart to sing hymns to praise God. So even in times of sorrow, Christian can still have a song of joy in your heart. There's been times when I've been going through awful things in my life, but yet there's still always a song down in my heart. I remember standing in line one time as we were waiting on the food line there at the church, and I was standing there, and I wasn't even thinking. I was just waiting on my time to get the chicken. And this lady turned around, and she said, "You know what? Every time around, you're always humming or singing or something." And it just kind of took me off guard. I didn't even realize I was doing it. But that's what happens. A Christian, you have that joy in your heart. And I noticed after that, it seems like I'm all the time humming a song, a gospel song, singing, and not even thinking about it. Because God does put joy in your heart. John 16:20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Psalm 30 and 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." That wasn't the whole verse, but that's the last part of it. So while we may have sorrow, we may weep, there's still joy to be found in the Lord. And then, of course, there's people that suffer. people that's had cancer. I know about that. I've had so many family members die from cancer, and I've seen the suffering that's gone on and experienced it firsthand. And you may be listening to me right now, and you may be suffering through a lot of things. I don't know, a lot of trials and hardships, sickness, maybe going through treatments. I know a lady right now that is having an awful time, having to go treatments every day. I'm losing the thought of what it is right now. Where your blood sugar, where you're diabetic. Can't think of what to call it right now. But she goes every day, dialysis. Forgive me, I forgot it. Goes to dialysis for kidneys and things every day, and she's so down about it. Well, listen, over in Acts 16 and 25, we find Paul and Silas. They've been wrongfully imprisoned. They've been beaten. They've been cast down the bottom of this prison, down in the lowest part in the dungeon, chained. And they're down there, and listen what it says in Acts 16 and 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So suffering should not cause you to lose your joy in the Lord and your song. It's always there. And then, of course, sin. Sin causing you to lose your song. Sorrow and suffering shouldn't make us lose our joy in the Lord and cause us not to be able to sing a song in our hearts. The only thing really that a Christian can do that causes you to lose your song would be when you allow sin in your life and in your heart. One of the greatest examples, is found in the life of King David. We all know that he, even though the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart, we know what happened there as he was king and they were going to battle and he stayed back in his palace. As he looks out that palace window, looks out across his neighbor's home, sees Bathsheba over there and lust for sin has her brought over, has improper relationship with her, she becomes great with child, and then he tries to cover it up by having her husband murdered. Now, through all of this, David sinned. He sinned greatly. And he had lost his joy. He had he'd gotten astray from God. And listen to what he said, though, in Psalm 51, 14 and 15. He says, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." So it wasn't until after David repented of his sin and pleaded to God to open my lips, God, allow me to sing praises to you. And that's what we must do. If you find yourself in a sinful state, backslidden from God, out of his will, all you simply have to do is come to God and repent. Fall down at his grace and mercy, ask him to forgive you, and ask him to restore that song in your heart. And he'll do it. He'll do it. So sin will cause you to lose your joy and lose your song. Sin will hold you captive just like they were in Babylon. That's what sin does. Sin puts you back into shackles. You see, when you get saved, those shackles have been broken. God breaks the chains of sin. You're no longer bound by it. You're not a slave of sin. But if you go back into being that old man and sinful creature, then you shackle yourself. You make yourself a prisoner, a captive. But it doesn't have to remain that way. Listen to Jeremiah 24, 6 and 7. "For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart." And see, the very same prophet that God said, "You go tell the people I'm going to take away their joy, their mirth, their singing, their bridegroom, all the, I'm going to take that away from them because of their wickedness. But I will restore them again. I will give them joy in their heart again. I will give them a song." Isaiah 55 and 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." See, even in the Old Testament truths there in Isaiah, We're assured if you belong to God, all you have to do is return to Him, and He will restore you. Isaiah 55 and 12, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." I love what all the Bible says about the joy that we have of the Lord and the song He puts in our heart. And, you know, I'm worried about people today that have lost their joy, lost their song. And I wonder, those that are listening today, have you lost your song? Are you no longer happy anymore? Do you seem like you don't have the relationship with Christ that you once had? Have you allowed sin or troubles, sorrows, suffering, these things to intervene, cause you not to have a song in your heart? Listen, there is still hope in the Lord. He'll restore your joy. He'll give you that song. And you can change all these things just in a moment. All you have to do is come to Him in prayer and ask Him to help you. Let's do that right now. You pray with me. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you so much for the message. And Lord, for the truths in your word. God, for you not holding anything back from us. God, we can understand without a doubt that you want us to have joy. Lord, you want us to have our relationship with you solid, God, and to be reconciled when we've strayed from you. Lord, I'm praying for that one right now that's listening. God, they don't have the song in their heart that they once had. They've seemed to have lost their joy. God, it's hard for them to get it back. Lord, I pray right now that you will help them with it. Convict their heart. Lord, show them all they got to do is turn to you, that you love them. Lord, that you want them to cast all their cares upon you because you care for them. Lord, I'm praying that right now for that individual that's suffering, the one that's having to take treatments, dialysis, and chemotherapy. Lord, all these that are having problems right now. Lord, those suffering from the coronavirus. God, these in our country that's astray. Lord, I pray for each one of them. God, that you'll help them. Lord, that you'll have mercy on this country. Lord, that this country will turn from its wickedness, turn their hearts to you, and Lord, praise you. Lord, that you'll give us all that joy in our heart and that song that we so desire. God, we pray that you get any glory from this. Thank you for loving us. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. And amen. Well, don't forget tonight, we're going to have Sunday school at 6 o'clock, and we're still in the book of Genesis. We're going to be looking at the life of Joseph, because we started on that last time, looking at Joseph. Tonight we'll be looking at the part where it talks about him being sold into slavery, and we're going to be talking about that and the attitudes of the brothers that did that, what prompted them to do that. And so you join us tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, well, if all hearts and minds are clear, in fear of the Lord, we're separated.